Welcome to .NET Rambles, a weekly podcast where Andy and Rowan discuss all things .NET related.
Good evening, Andy. How you doing?
Good evening, Rowan. I'm doing really well, thanks. Yeah, really well. How are you?
Very well, thanks. We're talking on a Monday night yet again because we ran out of time last week, didn't we?
It's happening too frequently this year. Just busy at work. The day goes by, and by the time you finished up, spending another 2 or 3 hours, even on a call with you, is a bit much for a Friday night.
I completely understand.
A long week. I'm ready to put my feet up, get some food, have a beer. That's it. I'm done.
It was a long week last week as well, wasn't it? A long Friday. We were on calls until quite late in the day, weren't we? So we literally ran out of time.
Yeah, absolutely. But anyway, we're here now. We're doing it. So, what we got planned today then?
Well, as you well know, you and I have been discussing on and off for many weeks, many months, in fact, the fact that that machine learning and artificial intelligence is pretty prevalent in today's IT and technology in general.
Yeah, it's going to take over the world.
It's going to take over the world. Yeah, we've got to be careful. So we're just making sure we're on top of it all, really.
Absolutely. Yeah. We've got to pull the plug.
Yeah, exactly. But machine learning's pretty prevalent. It's in so many services and pieces of technology that we use these days. Everything from spam filters. Even lots of insurance companies of AI-driven, models driving their, the policy calculations and risk calculations and that sort of stuff. Everyone's walking around with artificial intelligence working in their mobile phones. Things like facial recognition going on in cameras, augmented reality apps left, right, and centre. I've got a thing called a Ring doorbell at my house that I've recently installed, which is great, and it automatically picks up people as they walk past the house and rings some artificial chimes if someone's walking nearby, and then obviously when they press the doorbell, I get notification. But a lot of that's AI driven. Yeah. Alexa and Siri these days, obviously all that voice recognition is all AI under the covers. All the internet connected devices, IoT devices, a lot of them have AI sort of strung in amongst them. And even things like GitHub Autopilot and Visual Studio now having, code completion and smarts in them, which is all AI driven. So it's become commonplace now, really, hasn't it?
It's the sort of thing you don't really think about it in all these places. Obviously it's being used all over the place. And like you say, probably some of the lots of it around your home and that, which you don't really necessarily realize. But like you say, a lot of it in companies, there's lots more companies, I think, taking it on and using it because, saving them hundreds of thousands, millions, isn't it, by leveraging this new way of doing things.
So, yeah. Absolutely. And it's now easier than ever to be able to leverage the power of machine learning. And you and I have been talking about it in the context of our work, haven't we? Certain things that we work on feel like really good fits for machine learning.
They do, absolutely. You sort of start seeing patterns in it, and you start seeing, when you read about the articles and you sort of see what other people are doing, you think, we've got the data, we've got, the experienced people, and we've got some historic data, more importantly, about, decisions that have been made in the past and stuff. And you do start seeing how you could start applying this and, trying to make life easier for everybody, really. So
absolutely. And that's the thing with a lot of companies these days. A lot of companies are data rich, and lots of companies have accumulated years and years of data, whether that be sort of customer data or sales data or product usage data or whatever it may be. We've got more than ever before, in terms of data.
Well, space is cheap really nowadays, isn't it? So, it's cheap to be able to store this data, and people hoard it. They hoard the data because some things there's legislation about how long you've got to keep things, or just people keep it because you never know if you might need it. And obviously that also, the flip side of that is, should you be keeping it, some of this
talking about legislation and compliance, things like GDPR then start to come into the picture, don't they?
Absolutely.
The legalities around whether or not you should be holding on to that data. But it's an interesting topic and one that we wanted to talk a bit more about, so that's what we're going to talk about today. But before we get into that, I believe you've got a random fact for us.
I was going to jump in with the old random fact. So an interesting one, this one. Apparently the circulatory system is more than 60,000 miles long.
And what?
I know. I thought that was a typo. I had to check it in a few places, but this is ridiculous.
60,000 miles long in one person?
In a single person. Yeah, this is per person. So they're saying here for a child's entire circulatory system. So things like veins, arteries, capillaries. If you lay them out flat, they always do this with everything, don't they? If you lay it out flat, it would stretch this far. And they've done it. I don't know how they've done it with arteries and veins. It's disgusting, really. But, you know, if they laid it out, it would stretch for more than 60,000 miles. And then by the time you reach adulthood, you're free grown a bit, and then you've got 100,000 miles of blood vessels.
Wow, you've got even more of it. That's incredible. Yeah, 100,000 miles of blood vessels.
Amazing. In one person, which is crazy. But yeah, there you go.
Wow. So. And we had a bit of a discussion about this before. How what's the Earth's circumference, did we work out? I think it was something about...
Did you say 40,000?
In the region of sort of 45,000 kilometres, I think. Kilometers. You know, if we're talking about 60,000 miles in a child or 100,000 miles in an adult, that's a couple of times around the world, you know.
Absolutely.
Which is incredible.
I'm just working that in my head, and I'm obviously not trying to use Google at all to find that out quickly. No. But even if I could type in 45,000 miles, which I can't. it's done inches. No, it's gone inches now. It's not even done kilometres. But it's a lot. Go. Yeah, it's a few times around the Earth.
So, yeah. Yeah, well.
Excellent.
Brilliant. Excellent random fact. Right. Well, let's get back into machine learning. So what is machine learning? We hear a lot of people talk about machine learning, artificial intelligence. What's the difference? Is there a difference between the two? What does it all mean?
You do, yeah. So, of course, a lot of it is AI. You hear a lot about AI. And obviously, from our point of view, I think we probably hear a bit more about machine learning because AI is sort of the more high level thing about it. It's everything to do with it. So artificial intelligence is all about computers being used in human ways. So a part of that, a subset of it, is the machine learning side of things. So, you know, machine learning, the idea is that you can identify patterns in data. So you use algorithms, identify the patterns, and then those patterns can be used to create what's called a data model.
Yeah.
And then you can basically use that to make predictions. So this is why data is so important for machine learning. If you can have a good set of data, and it's like anything, you know, it all depends on the data you've got. If you've got good data, you're going to get better results. If you've got mediocre data, it's going to be a bit more difficult. But yeah, so better data equals obviously better predictions. And then as you can increase the data and the experience, it's just like human beings. You know, the more you practice, the better you get. So more data you provide.
And the better quality practice, you know, the better you're going to become. Gotcha.
Absolutely.
So the data is analogous to, you know, to practice, really, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. So yeah, so that's sort of that was my take on machine learning and how it sort of fits into AI. So yeah, there's loads of these other. So we normally talk about the .NET side of things, and obviously that's what we're more interested in.
Yeah.
But there's, you know, this has been going for a long, long time. There's been, I think, machine learning concepts going on since the 90s. Probably even before that, there were things going on, but it's become a lot more popular since then.
Absolutely. And there's more, you know, ML frameworks and platforms and tools popping up all the time. There's a big set of existing tools and frameworks for a lot of the other sort of ecosystems. So, you know, things like TensorFlow is a big one and PyTorch, but they're both largely written in Python and C++. There's other systems around, you know, things like Weka and Colab, and there's Apache Mahout. There's not a great deal available in .NET though for the .NET ecosystem. So a lot of those other systems are, you know, as we said, have to be written in things like Python or C++.
Yeah,
you know, there's a couple of Java frameworks about, but not a great deal available for .NET.
No, which just doesn't make it a very nice experience for a .NET dev, does it? Because, you know, we don't necessarily like to come out of our comfort zone and dip into other languages and platforms. So it'd be nice if we could stay in the .NET world and do this. So can we do that now? Is that possible?
Well, absolutely we can, thanks to ml.net.
Perfect.
which is incredible, really. One thing we haven't mentioned about all of those other frameworks and tool sets is that in order to be able to leverage them and get the most out of them, you really do need to know a lot about machine learning and understand the algorithms, at least have some sort of idea around what sort of algorithm you want to use, how your data needs to be structured, and how the data needs to feed into the particular algorithm you're using. But thanks to ML.net, not only do we have a framework to allow us to build machine learning models in .NET and be able to consume them, but we also have a framework that is incredibly easy to use. So you don't have to be a data scientist to be able to be able to get started with ML.NET.
Yeah, I think that's probably what put me off for a long, long time. You know, I read articles on it. I've got a couple of books on it, and you know, they go into quite a lot of detail about the algorithms and lots of strange words and mathematical things I've never heard of. So it does put you off quite quickly.
So ML.NET is really made for .NET developers. It's not designed for data scientists per se. It's targeted at .NET developers. So it allows you to, you know, you can do all the same stuff that you can do with the other frameworks in terms of being able to build and train a model, a data model, and then obviously consume it and deploy it. But it makes all of that available in a really easy to use way, and it fits into the .NET ecosystem. So you can build these models, deploy them, consume them, you know, custom data models in custom apps, and make it part of your custom .NET app, which is super exciting. It's really, really exciting and super easy to get up and running.
Nice. Okay. And you said about the different types of apps. Is this all apps? Is there certain apps I can use now? Or is this, you know, do I get the full suite of .NET for it? Can I console apps, web apps?
Yeah, all of the above. Yeah, it's .NET at the end of the day. So you can use it with almost any .NET app. So yeah, web apps, services, microservices, even things running in containers, stuff running on desktop, you know, WPF and WinForms, even Azure functions, any server-side stuff that you're developing, whether that be running on Azure or whether it's running on-prem, it's all, you know, ML.NET's usable by all of those app types, which is really exciting.
And my trouble is, I know this sort of, you know, I'm stuck now though, aren't I? Because this is going to be a .NET core thing. I'm not going to be able to use this in my old framework libraries, am I? Or my old web apps?
No, you can use it in .NET framework. So everything from 4.6.1s from .NET framework 4.6.1 and above, you can use ML.NET in. Nice. And you know, you did mention .NET Core. Of course, you can use it in .NET Core. I think it's everything from version 2, from .NET Core 2 and above. Okay. But yeah, that's brilliant. Available for both. If you are stuck on old framework stuff, as long as you can get up to 4.6.1. You can use ML.NET, which is
That's really nice. So you could take like a legacy web app, and you can make it really, really clever and have some fun with that. That's great.
Yeah. Okay. I mean, we were talking about it the other day, weren't we? We've got a small feedback piece of functionality on one of the apps that we work on. And it would be really a piece of cake for us to be able to drop in a sentiment analysis piece of functionality and give that to the people reviewing the feedback to give them a really quick view of what the sentiment of that particular piece of feedback is all about.
Absolutely, we did talk about that. That'd be a really nice one to do, actually. So yeah, it'd be quite fun. Obviously you can find lots of nice ways of doing it, because obviously if you're getting sentiment analysis and you can sort of see if people are happy or sad or whatever with it, you can show that quite nicely in the UI as well. So it'd be absolutely nice. Smiley faces or sad faces.
Absolutely. But even just from an administrative point of view, the people going through and sort of wading through this feedback, it offers them a really quick way to look at the feedback that, that might be, not so good. So they can address that really quickly and get on top of that. And then go through and then look at the better pieces of feedback and treat them accordingly.
Yeah, see, straight away you can see this stuff speeding up things for people, can't you? And just making people's life a bit simpler. So okay, cool. So we mentioned obviously it can be used in .NET Core, and it's part of .NET. It's part of the .NET stuff. So I take it's cross-platform. Is it free?
Absolutely.
It's available for us to use?
Absolutely, yeah. Cross-platform. So if you're running .NET Core on Linux or Mac or whatever, there's no reason why your ML.NET functionality can't work cross-platform just like that does. It's all free. It's all open source. it's even, you know, it's even extendable, but you know, it's brilliant, really. There's no reason not to try it.
You just, yeah, find something to try it on, and yeah, there's going to be some way of doing it, isn't there? Whether it's just personal projects or something you can apply it to at work.
Exactly.
So all of this stuff, like I said a minute ago, you know, I got books on this before I started watching some YouTube videos on machine learning, because, you know, it sounded interesting. It was sort of, you know, there's lots of things happening in it. But, and, you know, the big thing I remember about it is algorithms. It's all based on algorithms, and you've got to understand these things. You've got to know, you know, go back to school and brush up on your GCSE maths.
Yeah. You know, your calculus. What, yeah. Looking at your DYDX rates of change and all of that sort of stuff.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah, all that stuff. So, yeah. But so, do you really need all that? Because it's just the thing as well. You know, with software development, lots and lots of people, I've heard it. You know, I see it in forums all the time, and people talk about it all the time. It's like, oh, but I'm not very good with maths. I can't be a programmer because you know, you need to know maths. And then machine learning comes along. You think, oh God, I really need to know maths now, because this is really complex stuff, and I've got to understand lots of strange words and formulas and stuff like that. And, you know, just puts people off. So how does that work? Do you need to do anything with that?
Well, the beauty of ML.NET, as we said before, is it's targeted at .NET developers, right? And .NET developers don't work with these algorithms all day, every day.
I was going to say, that's, oh dear, if it targets .NET devs and you need maths, I'm in trouble. That's lucky. Good. Okay, good. So I don't need to get my son's A-level maths book or anything.
You don't need to know any of it. And that's the great thing about a lot of the .NET framework is the abstractions that you interact with as a developer hide away a lot of the complexities that you just, you know, if you're not comfortable with, you know, with the algorithms or any of the theory that goes behind it, you don't need to be. Right. If you want to get, you know, if you wanted to dive in and get under the covers and start tweaking the algorithm and the model and transforming various aspects of the way that the model is generated, absolutely, it's all there and available for you to do. But the abstractions have been developed such that you don't need to know any of that really to get going. Which
that's
is
really
brilliant.
Nice.
And to be honest, that's the case with a lot of the .NET framework, isn't it? You know, the abstractions that are provided, are targeted at the right level, you know, for us as devs to be able to get in and get productive, you know, really quickly. I think we've said it before, you know, I want to quote that Hanselman quote where he talks about standing on the shoulders of giants. Really, ML.NET is just another example of us being able to do that. You know,
makes us look good.
It does. It makes us look good. Yeah, absolutely. So, yeah, in answer to your question, absolutely not. You don't need to know anything about the algorithms, how they work.
Good.
Or you know, how you need to structure your model, or you know, any of that sort of data science stuff. You know, you can get started really easily.
Yeah,
which is brilliant.
Okay, excellent. So, all right. So you're saying get started easily. Go on. Then, give me an example of how this would work. Then, what would you do? I've got a brand new app. I've got Visual Studio open in front of me. What do I do?
Yeah. So it's probably worthwhile running through the steps of what you need to do in order to be able to sort of use ML.NET. So ML.NET works using a context pattern similar to the entity framework. You create a DB context in the entity framework. With ML.NET, you create a you create a context as well. So you start off with a context, and that basically encompasses everything you need. The next thing you do is you load your data. So that's probably the hardest step of all, is sourcing the right data. As we said previously, you know, the data is everything in terms of the quality of your model. So it's all about finding the right data and finding enough of it to be able to build a good model from. But once you've got your data, you can load that data in various ways, you know, really common ways to load it from text file. But there's APIs in ML.NET to be able to do that. Then once you've got your data, you may need to transform that data. So if you've got various pieces of data that, you know, that are blank, or that, you know, you've got missing parts, ML.NET gives you the ability to be able to transform the data once you've loaded it. So there are built-in transformers that basically take your data and sort of transform it in various ways. So once you've transformed your data into a format that's usable, you then think about what you want to do in terms of what type of model you want to build. And so just getting back to that algorithms point, ML.NET allows you to supports loads of different machine learning algorithms. So everything from binary classification through to, you know, like multi-class classification. So binary classification is, you know, a simple, you know, yes or no answer, a binary yeah. answer. Yeah. Okay. You can get more sophisticated and move to things like multi-class classification, you know, for things like, you know, categorization. Yeah. There are regression support in there. So for things like price prediction, if you need to do things like clustering, you know, if you're doing something like customer segmentation, clustering supported, things like anomaly detection. So if you wanted to, you know, find some anomalies in some sales data, you know, like sales spikes, anomaly detection would be what you go for. And other various types of algorithms are all supported. So that next step is choosing what sort of algorithm you want to use. But, you know, I need to stress that you don't need to go away and sort of research how each of those algorithms works. You just need to know that you can do that sort of you know, that sort of build that sort of model in ML.NET.
And they're provided, these ones you're talking about, they're provided for you.
Yeah, they are. Yep. They're all provided out of the box. So it's really easy to get started. But I mean, it's just worthwhile saying that there is broad support there for lots of different machine learning algorithms. So once you've chosen your algorithm, then you need to train your model. So you basically fit your data into through one of those algorithms. And there's a simple API method to do that. You basically just call fit and pass in your data, which will then apply your data in any transformations and run it through your chosen algorithm. Then the next step is that you would go through and sort of evaluate that model. So you'd look at it in terms of accuracy and various other, various other performance sort of aspects. Okay. And then once you're happy with the model, then it's a matter of consuming the model. It's really easy to deploy and consume that model. So your model just becomes a binary file that you deploy with your app. Nice. And you deploy that out and start using it in your app. From a very high level, those are the steps that happen.
Yeah.
But really, the secret sauce is around how you would do that through Visual Studio.
Yeah. Yeah.
So that's a lot of steps I've just listed out there. Yeah, but absolutely. I believe you had a crack at this recently.
I was going to say, yeah. So you've listed all those. I counted about seven steps there. I reckon I can get that down to one, to be honest. Or one to start with. Because I played with this the other day, and yeah, literally, you know, in your project, right clicking and going add machine learning model, and then it basically walks you through pretty much everything you just talked about. So, you know, it seems like they've come at this from both sides. You've got, you know, simple approach for me. More complex approach for you. I'm going down the simple route. I can literally right click, add a machine learning model, give it the file that I've got, tell it what column I want to predict.
Yeah.
And then, well, actually, I think initially I have to tell it the type of thing I'm after. So, like you said, a binary classification.
Yeah.
And then, give it the data, tell it the column I want to predict, and then off it goes and does its thing. And it actually, these algorithms you were talking about, it seems to then go and apply many of these algorithms to your data to sort of see which one does best
right.
the data you've given it.
Yeah.
And it then sort of, as it goes through, it's giving you updates, which is really clever. And, you know, through the Visual Studio UI, it's just going through each one, giving you updates and analyzing each algorithm, giving you a score for it. And then at the end of it, you know, you've told it how long to sort of go away and train for. And at the end, it basically goes, yeah, here's the one, the best one for you based on what I've seen. And then literally some code that you can copy and paste into your app, or you can generate a new web app or console app from it. So I was literally blown away by what I could get up and running. I mean, I watched another video this evening of somebody else doing it, a Microsoft person doing a demo of it. And she managed to get it up and running in under 3 minutes. And that was with her talking over and explaining it. And it's literally pretty much, you know, seconds to right click, go through, you know, depending on how long you want to train your model for. But yeah, really, really fast. It was really impressive.
Yeah, that's incredible.
And the results were great, yeah.
So if we compare that workflow to using some of the other tools or frameworks that are out there, you know, ML.NET just makes it so easy because you don't have to have any of that underlying knowledge around how these algorithms work or how you need to, you know, how you need to structure your data necessarily. So, and I think the key to that is that ML.NET's using AutoML under the covers, and it's obviously automating a lot of that.
Absolutely. Yeah, that's it. Yeah, you're absolutely right. I think that's what they've done. They've made it, they've really, really worked hard to make it simple. And like you say, this AutoML, the automated ML, makes it really easy to do that. Just takes away all guesswork. You've not got to remember anything. It's this click, click, click. You see some output and you're done. So you're done in minutes, not hours anymore. It's not going to take you hours to put together, you know, the training data, do your supervised and unsupervised training and all these various things. It seems to just, just does it all for you. So, you know, you still got to train and build a model, but it's taken care of for you. It's taken out of your control. It's doing it all for you, doing it the best way. And you don't need to learn Python, which is a bonus.
So, which is a bonus, yeah. It fits into the ecosystem and the tooling that we've already got. So, and in order to deploy and consume a model in a production app, it's just a matter of including that binary.
Absolutely.
And deploying that with your app. So
that's right.
Mm-hmm. There's no excuse really for us all not to, you know, be using machine learning in our apps.
Need to go and give it a try, definitely. I mean, yeah, based on the one I did the other day, like you said, the feedback stuff we're thinking about doing it in and some other aspects of things we're looking at, really, really good opportunities to give it a try and some production code, which would be good fun.
Yeah, so, absolutely.
You know, there's loads of data sets out there if you want to try these things. So obviously with sentiment-based things, you know, there's loads of data sets to go and try. I mean, these ones came from... some universities provide them, so there's a few, like, you can go and search for these things. What was the one we found? What was it called? It was a Institute the Center for Machine Learning and Intelligence Systems.
They've got close to 600 data sets available there to consume, which is really good. All available for free.
Yeah, sorry, I was going to say the other thing. You know, the Microsoft site has got so much info on this, really. I don't know whether it's just from .NET Conf. Obviously, we saw a few things from there, and there's been a few more videos lately coming up from this. But I think they're possibly trying to push some of this as well. So, you know, there's loads of tutorials on their website that you can give it a try. And the one I did on, there was another one that I found. If you know, ML.NET for beginners, or, you know, ML.NET quick starts, you can find all those sorts of things. Give it a try quick. And, you know, it's literally... do it over lunch, have a play with it over lunch. And by the end of lunch, you'll have a sentiment analysis service running that you can give it a try.
So, yeah, really good. It's also worthwhile saying that although ML.NET is targeted at .NET developers, it's not just a framework for beginners. So if you have existing models that have been developed in, you know, one of the other popular ML frameworks like TensorFlow or Onyx or something like that, you can consume those models in ML.NET. So We have mentioned it, but it's worthwhile reiterating that ML.NET is extensible. So it's not locked down to just consuming models that are created by ML.NET. And it is extensible. So that's an important point. It's also worthwhile mentioning that Microsoft have obviously got a load of artificial intelligence / ML sort of services out there. You know, they've got things like cognitive services, and, you know, lots of services available in Azure that leverage machine learning. But the key thing about ML.NET is it enables you to develop a custom machine learning model and consume that in your custom apps. So, that's the big difference there. And you can obviously run it on Azure if you want, or, you know, like we said, you can run it basically anywhere. But that's what ML.NET allows you to do is build custom ML machine learning models into your custom apps and, you know, and deploy that out. So really exciting stuff.
No, it is really exciting. Yeah, I'm looking forward to giving it a try on a few things and, yeah, getting some experience with it. That's great.
Good
to chat about it.
Yeah, very, very interesting. I think we'll have to do a follow-up show once we've gotten our little feedback thing in.
Yeah, it'd be a good follow-up, actually. It'd be an interesting one to sort of give that a try and sort of find out, you know, really how easy is it, to push it out of production, you know, what's the feedback you get from it and stuff like that. Feedback.
Yeah.
Maybe get stuck in the loop there, but we'll try and do a follow-up. Absolutely. We're trying to do a follow-up on that, so that'll be interesting. Cool. Well, we'll finish as we always do on sort of a utility or an OS project of the week, just to finish up on that. And the one I picked this week was just the SysInternals suite. And loads of people would have heard of this already, but it's good to always put it out there. And I've noticed, actually, again, I went to the website today and to have a look at it, and it's been updated recently. So there's a few new things in there. They've got some updates. But there's so much in it. I mean, it's been running now for, 25 years? Yeah, like that. So yeah, it's basically lots of utilities and technical bits and bobs that you can use to do things with file and disk, networking, process, security, system info. I know loads and loads of companies that use, there's a thing called BG Info, and loads of software, not software companies, loads and loads of people use the software to basically put some data, basically embeds an image onto your desktop with all of your computer information in. So it's, yeah. I know a lot of people use that. Zoomit, obviously Scott Handelman uses that a lot to do his presentations and stuff. And yeah. there's probably hundreds of utilities in there. But yeah, it's a good one to shout out. And if you've never used it, give it a try. And if you do use it, remember it's updated. And I think you can even run them now over the internet as well. You can do sort of a /live.sysinternals.com to run them remotely, which is quite impressive.
Yeah, so marvellous. Yeah, good. Certainly worth a look.
Great stuff.
Nice. Well, let's leave it there. I think we're bang on half an hour this week. So that was really interesting. I'm super excited about ML.net, and I'm constantly thinking about areas that we could be dropping it into the stuff that we're working on.
Yeah, absolutely. It's one of those funny things. And once you start seeing it, you sort of think, oh, could try it on this and try it on this, and we could include it here and there. And yeah, it's well. But it's it can solve a lot of problems. So I think it's well worth it.
Absolutely.
So it's been interesting chatting to you about it. So appreciate that.
Good stuff. Thanks. All right. Well, I'll look forward to our chat next week. And absolutely. Have a good one.
Yep. You have a good week. Speak to you soon. Cheers.
Bye.